Russell, thank you, everyone. Very good evening to you all. I know some of you have joined me earlier this afternoon. Welcome back. So I'm sorry you've got me again for the next 20 minutes or so. But yes, this evening is brought to you by the letters D, E and F, as they used to say on Sesame Street all those years ago. And we kick off indeed with the letter D. So just give you a moment. Just if you take a moment to turn off your video cameras as well, please. If you haven't done that already, and we'll just switch any off. And with a bit of luck, I shall launch the first screen, and there we have the title page, week two of London, A through to Z, DEF with Simon and Russell. Well, I thought, ladies and gentlemen, for this evening's first D, I didn't want to go very far from home. So in fact, the first port of call combines both of the letters in my particular sequence. This is D for Devonshire Road. And Devonshire Road is right in the heart of the London borough of Lewisham in the suburb of Forest Hill. So we've got D and F, and you can just see the name there on the left-hand side. And I live about halfway down this quite long road, actually, on the right-hand side. I better not give you the number in case, you know, you want to come rushing around for a cup of tea. Although, of course, you'll all be most welcome. So this is home. And I just want to take you back in time, just to the end of the 19th century, to this lovely image of Devonshire Road, which is just at the bottom there. And this is a road which is now a very busy main road, which is called the South Circular. It's a very busy sort of gyratory road that runs through the heart of South London. But I just rather liked it because we have quite a collection at home of postcards of Forest Hill past and present. But look at that, you've got sort of dairy-fed pork there on the building. And on the left, this is a dray cart and a dray horse. So there's a D for you. The dray carts were used to carry barrels of beer, usually from breweries to local pubs, and the horses were named after the carts, so they are dray horses. So I just thought you'd like that nice image of late Victorian, I think actually maybe even slightly early Edwardian Forest Hill. I couldn't find a date on it, I don't think it's got a date on the front. Anyway, let's move a little bit down Devonshire Road, because we're lucky enough on Devonshire Road to have some wonderful little pieces of architecture. It's a pillar box. In fact, it's a very special pillar box, and we are cheating a bit here because this is the letter P, really, but it doesn't matter because it's on Devonshire Road. And you can see two things. You can see, first of all, there are two letters on the front, VR. VR, that's Victoria Regina, that's the royal cipher, so we know that it's a pillar box that was made in the reign of Queen Victoria. But more specifically than that, it's actually a very rare pillar box design. It's called the Penfold design, and it was designed by a man called J.W. Penfold, and there are only about 150 of them left in the country, because they were, although people liked them, because visually they're very appealing, as you can see, they were not actually very practical, largely because of the way you inserted the letters, because they didn't have a downward shoot in. You sort of had to push the letters up, so they were slightly awkward. Also, you can see they weren't very wide. But if we just take a closer look, and there, just to prove it, look, there's Devonshire Road there, and there's the top of the pillar box. You can see they're hexagonal in design, and they have this sort of, well, it's classical architecture, isn't it? This is an acanthus bud, just like you find at the top of a Corinthian column, you'd find acanthus leaves. And originally they were city-based, but in fact, they eventually went into rural areas as well. But only about 300 were made over about a 20-year period between the late 1850s and the late 1870s. But about 155. And not only have we got one of these on our road, we've actually got two of them. So we've got two of these wonderful pillar boxes. Now, my question to you is, this is a quiz question. Where were the very first pillar boxes put up in Britain? So you don't have to shout it out now. You can write the answer down. I'll tell you a little bit later. So where, I'm going to write it down so I don't forget the question. Where were the first pillar boxes in Britain? Now, if we move just further along Devonshire Road, so actually we're sort of heading back to near where I live, we can see something else here. We can see the pillar box that replaced the Penfold box. This is the one that's most now common. But that's actually quite a nice one because I don't know if you can see that on the front, but that's ER on the front there. That's ER. Now, we used to sing ER on our pillar boxes today because it's Elizabeth Regina, the present Queen. But that's not Elizabeth. That's actually Edward, King Edward VII, Queen Victoria's son. So we know that that pillar box was made in a very short 10-year period, the Edwardian era, which some of us know quite a lot about now, thanks to Karen's Edwardian London. And just behind there, we've got this beautiful building, which is now apartments. And this is an Edwardian delivery office for the post office. And it's just that they kept the facade and they've turned it into lovely apartments. Now, D is for deliveries, because had we been living on this road in Forest Hill in the mid to late 19th century, we would be getting 10 deliveries a day on the hour, every hour. That's how extraordinarily efficient the Victorian postal system was. So let's say if Russell had posted a letter at Charing Cross in the middle of London at 9 o'clock in the morning, I would expect it to arrive in Devonshire Road at noon. It would have arrived within 3 hours. I mean, today, you'd be lucky if you get a postal delivery a day, and you never know what time it's going to arrive. So that's the extraordinary statistics of the Victorian postal system. So Devonshire Road and deliveries. So from Devonshire Road, we're now going to go into town. We're going to go right into the heart of the West End. And then we're actually going to retrace our steps a little bit to where we were last week, because we're now looking at a 18th century map, and you can see there's Piccadilly. And you might remember Fiona talked about Berkeley House last week. Do you remember that? Yes, Berkeley House, built between 1665 and 1673 at a cost of about £30,000. Well, that house would later be occupied by a duchess, D for duchess, Barbara Villiers, the Duchess of Cleveland and one of the most celebrated mistresses of King Charles II. But in 1696, Berkeley House was bought by William Cavendish, and he'd just been made the first, wait for it, Duke of Devonshire. So that's double D, two Ds, and it was renamed, as you can see from the map, Devonshire House. Now, one of the agreements as part of buying the house was that John Berkeley, who built the house, Berkeley House, was not allowed to build on the land behind the house, because he actually still owned the land behind. So that preserved the Duke of Devonshire's view, which is why we still have that lovely space, Berkeley Square, which sits behind. So that's a little bit about the Devonshires. And this is a sort of a digital view of what Devonshire House would have looked like. So you can see it would have been one of the largest and grandest aristocratic townhouses in London. And another duchess, one of the most famous duchesses in London's history, lived here with her husband, that first Duke. That's Georgiana, the Duchess of Devonshire. And she was a great beauty. Her husband, the Duke, was much older, and it was a fairly loveless relationship, but she was extremely popular, and she was really the great celebrity. And she was a great supporter of the Whig Party, which would be the sort of equivalent of the Liberal Democrats today. And she was a supporter of Charles James Fox, who went on to become a Member of Parliament. And interestingly, she has very interesting ancestry, the Duchess of Devonshire, because she was the daughter of a man called John Spencer, who lived in Spencer House, which was another grand house, not too far away from Devonshire House. And her descendant was another D, that was Diana Spencer. And I don't need to explain that she, of course, also was married to an older man who she didn't really love very much and became a great celebrity herself. So there's a kind of nice link there with D's. And the This is an image of Devonshire House, actually, just at the turn of the 20th century. And many aristocratic families, as we know, had to give up their London homes. And Devonshire House was actually deserted by 1919. Not only was it deserted, then it was demolished. So deserted, then demolished. And it gets mentioned, in fact, in literature. So Virginia Woolf's Mrs. Dalloway mentions Devonshire House. As she passes down Piccadilly, Mrs. Dalloway says she could not think of walking down Piccadilly of Devonshire House without its gilded leopards. There were gilded leopards, a reference to the house's gilded gates, which you can actually see here. Also, Siegfried Sassoon, who lived around the corner in Mayfair, wrote a poem called A Reflection on the Demolition of Devonshire House. So what caused the demolition? Well, DD again, death duties. And the poor old Duke was the first of his family, the ninth Duke in this case, to end up with death duties of £500,000. And he inherited an awful lot of debt from his grandfather, the seventh Duke. So they had to sell off the house, they had to sell off the land, they had to sell off lots of family valuables, including great sort of literary treasures. So sadly, this is another lovely image of the house. By 1920, at a price of about £750,000, the house was demolished. And it was actually bought by industrialists, and they built a hotel and a block of flats on the site. And one of the architects said, archaeologists have gathered around me and say I'm a vandal, but personally, I think the place is an eyesore. So he wasn't a great big fan of it. And linking into that, this is just a lovely photograph of D4 debutantes. And these are debutantes. These are the, of course, the girls of these aristocratic families who would be presented at court right up until 1958 and often end up being married off to either other members of the aristocracy or perhaps even a royal prince. And this is one of the last images of debutantes crossing Piccadilly before the Queen discontinued the presenting debutantes at Buckingham Palace in 1958. Princess Margaret said that every tart in London, she said, was appearing at Buckingham Palace at the debutante balls. So then eventually the site of Devonshire House was replaced by this underground station, which we all know today. This is Green Park Underground Station, which sits on the site of where Devonshire House used to be. But before it was Green Park Underground Station, it was actually, there was a different station, and the entrance to it was around the corner. So here is a map, and you can see there's Devonshire House. This marks the current entrance to where Green Park Underground Station is, which leads us to the Piccadilly and Victoria lines. But of course, as we know, if you've been on Fiona's underground tour, you'll know, of course, that the underground was made up of private companies, really, until the early part of the 20th century. And you can see all the competing companies here with different lines. But there was a station here on Dover Street. And on the right here is an image of Dover Street today. And that building's on the site of where Dover Street station was, and it was designed by Leslie Green, who you may well have heard about if you've been on Fiona's underground tour. Now, just after the First World War, when that would have been Dover Street station, two old friends bump into each other just after the end of the war. They haven't seen each other in years, and there's not much work around, and they decide to form a detective agency. So D is for detective, and their names were Tommy and Tuppence Beresford, and they are the detectives in Agatha Christie's second novel, which is called The Secret Adversary, published in 1923. So there's a nice sort of, you know, reminder in that story that Dover Street was the name of the station. So they went on to appear in six of Agatha Christie's detective stories, and in 1930, D is for Detection Club. The Detection Club was established in London. This is an image from 1932, an association of the aristocracy of the detection writing world. And it was formed by the leading detective writers of the day, including Agatha Christie, Ronald Knox, Hugh Walpole, Jesse Rickard, Austin Freeman, Margaret Cole, and D for Dorothy, Dorothy L. Sayers. And Dorothy L. Sayers, there she is in her fur coat, holding a skull. Now, if you were lucky enough to be invited to join the Detection Club, you would have gone to a hotel in Northumberland Avenue for the initiation dinner. You'd have been swept up the staircase by a massive and majestic lady in a black dress. This is her. Dorothy L. Sayers. And she would have led you down a hall lit only by flickering tapers. And new initiates would have to place a hand on the skull, and another man called John Rode would have intoned in a very deep sepulchral voice that the new detective writer would make no use whatsoever of divine revelation, feminine intuition, mumbo jumbo, jiggery pokery, coincidence, or act of God. They would conceal no vital clues from the reader, and they would be sure to honour the King's English. And if the detective writer would fail in their solemn duty, a curse would befall them. May other writers anticipate your plots. May total strangers sue you for libel. May your pages swarm with misprints and your sales continually diminish. That was the curse of the detection